Amen. We will be having a laugh a bit later at the expense of my family. But it's all right. It's all right. Just turn to Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonderful miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Yay! Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. See, when we read this passage, is that the coffin all right there? Just speak healing over the coffin. Thank you, Jesus. When we read this passage, we don't see something that is static or motionless. We see something that's alive and vibrant. Amen? Are you alive and vibrant?
Yes.
Just checking. Just ask your neighbor, are you alive and vibrant? What we express in the terms of God's kingdom has to start with Him. For us individually, our relationship with Him and relationally together. Just before we're going to get into what we're going to do, I'm just going to speak things about we know. Now, this week, I've got the wonderful pleasure of talking about quality time. And so as we go through it, I just really pray that God's going to, you know, touch your hearts, but also this is going to be very practical as well. Because when I was in the leadership team the other week, they always said to me, it's got to be practical, Gary. It's got to be practical. And I started feeling the pressure of it's got to be practical. So I'm going to discharge some practical things. Now, some of the other things that have been mentioned before, really about affirmation, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Remember the whole thing that Pastor Clive bought a few weeks ago. I believe when I read that Acts passage, I see the agape love of God working in the whole body. Really, that fluidness, there's a vibrancy, amen? There's love is touching one another, relationships. So all of those kind of activities are working together. So in the Acts passage, I see the love languages being expressed in action. Just say action.
Action.
Amen. Because Jesus, when he gave his life, he came and gave everything, didn't he? He didn't come just with words, but he came with action. He came himself to break the power of the enemy. He came himself to restore us into a relationship with God. Isn't that wonderful? He came himself, and then he lived all of his life living that agape love, living in the power of that agape love. Amen. Those 3 years, an amazing time. It was a demonstration of his power. Now, the heart of what we're talking about now, and really what we're in now, we're not talking about human love and human activity. What we're actually talking about is God's agape love in us, flowing out of us in very, very practical ways. Amen. Amen. How many men know where the Hoovers are? Just checking. Some are like, Hoover? What's a Hoover? Haven't seen a Hoover. Oh dear. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Now this, I'm reading from the Amplified again, so I may be here a few minutes. But it says something wonderful. The grace, favour and spiritual blessing, that's 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. The grace, favour and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion, the sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. It's not just a prayer that sometimes we say after a meeting. Is there those who's ever done that? Yeah, because I have in my upbringing. But for me, what's happening there, it's talking about relationship of life. It's talking about relationship of love you have with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's that communion, out of that contact point, love is going to pour out of your hearts and out of your lives. God's been getting on my case in very practical ways, you know, in these last few weeks. And the way it's demonstrated to me is, you know, we've got families that I dearly, really love, that me and Rachel are caring for, we're looking after. And I've just got such an excitement. Now, this is going to, don't make this sound as it's going to be horrible, it's not. I really, really want to be with them. And I really want to see them set free. I really want to love them and have my life available to them. So that in that sharing of life, something there's an exchange. Amen? In that sharing of life, there's a vulnerability. In that sharing of life together, but what I'm saying just to begin with, it can really only come out of our union with God. Amen? Because I think if we get into human effort and into works of the flesh, they aren't going to produce the life. But the Holy Spirit in you is life, amen? He's going to produce life through you, in you, to you, from someone else, to someone else. And that's the truth. Here's life. One word of affirmation, changing a situation. One act of, giving someone something or blessing someone with something is going to break the power of something, amen? Because of life. The world out there needs to see us loving one another, but in reality, in tangible ways and in practical ways. Now, don't shoot me down after this, right, please. Fellowship isn't a cup of tea and a biscuit at the back of the church. Praise God for a cup of tea and a biscuit at the back of the church, and I really pray blessing over the guys, you know what I mean, because that's the way we all get together and share. But it is more than that, isn't it? Yeah, that's just a holy cow that's just got shot then on that one. It's like, it's gone now. It's no more. Fellowship is sharing something with someone or sharing in something with someone. Sharing something with someone or sharing in something with someone. When we have that close relationship with God and that fellowship of the Holy Spirit is in us and that communion is there, our fellowship is life to people. Because when we see them, we speak in life over them, aren't we? We're releasing life over them. When they speak, you know, when we speak in conversation and we touch people's heart, life is happening. Think something of the Spirit. It's spirit to spirit, amen? Heart to heart, life to life. Now, when we come into the whole issue of quality time, I just want you to have that in the background of all the stuff that we're doing. When we talk about quality time, it's not necessarily the length of time that is the issue. It's about giving someone your undivided attention. You know? When Samuel was little, he used to read him a bedtime story. And I can guarantee you, he'd grab a bedtime story, it was about the same size as War and Peace. He'd grab the biggest book that he ever could be and ask to read the story. What was he wanting? He was wanting quality time. So probably the only way that he knew he could get it with Dad is just get the biggest book so we can read it together. But in a sense of, when I give someone quality time, I give them my undivided attention. Now, I've had to learn the lesson the hard way with my own family. It's taken me 11 years to twig what my son's two love languages are. Can you imagine that? 11 years. Has anybody seen the Pink Panther?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody, you know, Inspector Clouseau? Yeah. Yeah, everybody seen Kato? Well, my son's like Kato. What he does is, bless his heart, I'm sitting there having a cup of tea or whatever on the bed or wherever, and he creeps up and he hides from me at the most unexpected moments and then goes, woohoo! And I've got the cup of tea in my hand and it's like, woohoo! He's done it for years. I haven't twigged it, you know, and I don't think it's to do with the boy thing. You know, like the boy thing is with kids is, you know, I mean, when you lie, you know, as a father, you lie down on the floor, that, you know, your kids are two or three, that's it. They're a bouncy castle, you know what I mean? Well, I may look like a bouncy castle, but I don't want to be one. Conscious to vicious rumours. Yeah. Yes. It's my own choosing that inflates myself rather than someone pumping me up in the morning. We are allowed to laugh. We are in church. You know what I mean? We don't. It's not. God hasn't gone. You know what I mean? If I get struck by a ball of lightning during the service, you know I shouldn't be saying some things, all right? But what I mean by that is for Samuel, for all of his life, you know, he would hide behind things, he would creep under the bed, and then he'd just jump on me. You know what I mean? He'd pummel me, you know. What was he wanting? He was wanting physical touch. He was wanting something from me that he just loved to be with me. And the other side, you know, it's been really a challenge. You know, so in the quality time side, you know, there's been some few challenges. Now, I'll just share some things for myself personally. See, the activity that we are sharing in, maybe kicking a football about in the back garden, the important thing is that our time together is focused with each other. Yeah? I can remember when Samuel was little. Now, this God used this as a real, oh, I felt such. You know when your heart just goes, oh, Lord. God used this situation. And I'm playing football out with him, and I'm kicking the ball around, you know. And, you know, as they get older, they kick it harder, don't they? You know, and I'm trying not to, you know, you try not to lose your temper when they kick it, and it stings, you know what I mean? Like, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good shot, son, you know. And I go, and inside, I go, wait till I get him inside, you know. But what he did was, you know, one day I was seeing him. Now, this is a long time ago, and this is love isn't rude. It's not meant to embarrass him. You know, parents, when you see your kids, you see like, you know, you see when they want to go to the toilet. Yeah? They start this kind of like little disco kind of dance, you know what I mean? You ever seen it? I don't know why they do it, but they do, you know what I mean? They just, and I'm sitting there with, you know, standing there with him, and he's like, Samuel, what is the matter with you? And he says, I want to go to the toilet. What's up? Go to the toilet. Do you know what he said to me? He said, Dad, if I go to the toilet, I don't know if you're going to be there when I get back. Cut my head off. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and it was, and it, for me, it was kind of like, wow. So what you're saying, Sammy, you were so afraid to go to the toilet because you thought I wasn't going to be there when you got back. Because what he wanted from me was that quality time. What he wanted was that actual time together. The activity is just a vehicle that creates a sense of togetherness. It could be going for a walk. Who likes going for a walk? Who likes playing sport? No. But in my head, I like playing sport. But my body. No. Who likes playing sport? Go into the pictures. No, it's all right. You can put your hand up. It's okay. You can be free. You see, there's lots, you see, that togetherness, you know, see, you've got to remember the activity is just the vehicle. The activity is just what we, kind of what we do together. But it's that heart to heart, it's that sharing, that's togetherness. I'm going to say something now, and I don't want, I just, if you're careful while I say it. Does anybody like shopping? Well, someone in my family does, but I won't go any further than that. You see, in another way, what are the subtle dangers? Rachel and I could be in the same room watching. We like watching Gardener's World. All right. There's people in the auditorium losing the will to live. Do you know what I mean? I just mentioned the word garden as well. But we actually really like doing that together. But it's an interesting thing about that is that, yes, we are in the room together watching the TV. But what has got our attention? The television has our attention. So that time that necessarily that we... You know, that we need to communicate together. And I'm talking to, obviously, not just about marriage, being in the context of marriage, but even with friends, you know, if you're single. I don't think anybody has a problem with watching stuff on television, but I realized what that thing was doing. It was diluting that time. It was diluting something that where we needed to communicate and where we needed to share with. It's not wrong, but it's just something that we have to watch. Now, when we spend our time together, it is a common pursuit. It communicates that we care about each other, and sometimes it's good to have a plan. Sometimes it's good to be practical, right? I'm just going to invite Gary Gibbons just up for a second. Just Gary's just going to share. Let's just welcome him. Yeah? So, Gary, what do you... Welcome, the two Garys. What do you...
First of all, I'd like to introduce Gary here. Gary is, and myself, we are co-founders of the Gary Appreciation Society. Okay. It's a growing organisation. In fact, we've gone national. You see all these little vans driving around saying British Gas? That's what it stands for, Gary Appreciation Society. Okay. You get a bill from us, you know, to support us. Don't you? Now, what I'm going to say is actually rooted back in the 1960s. I went off to university and studied sociology, okay? And I spent quite a lot of time studying how organisations tick and how they don't tick sometimes. And one of the subjects I was particularly interested in was the conflict, the sources of conflict within an organisation. Just think about that. You know, what are the main sources of conflict in organisations? Well, there are numerous ones. But one of them is divergence of subunit goals.
Steady. I got divergence.
Well, anyway, yeah. Sociologists like these fancy words, but it's divergence of subunit goals. So what is, in terms of an organisation, let's just think of an organisation. You think of, you know, the Conservative Party, Kingdom Faith Church, but you can also think about a marriage. Okay, it's a small organisation. Now, going back to the 1960s, another part of my development, apart from studying sociology, was to meet my wife.
Hey.
Ooh. 44 years ago.
Hey.
And I'd like Annie to stand up. So I met Annie when she was 13 and I was 14.
Oh. Ah,
okay. But anyway, 33 years ago, having met her 44 years ago, we became a small organization. In other words, a married couple. And so we, as that organization, were exposed to the potential source of conflict of divergence of subunit goals. Okay? Now, what does this mean? What this means in practice, that at any point in time in one's life, When you get up in the morning, you've got goals for the day. I've got goals for the day. Gary's got goals for the day. And Annie's got goals for the day. We've all got different goals. And that's biblical, isn't it? Have plans and purposes for your life. Have an ordered life. But the thing is, what is the chances of two parties having the same goals in one day? Fairly remote, really. And this goes not, you know, for married couples, but other, you know, relationships and so on. So what do you do about it? How are you going to overcome this divergence of subunit goals, which could cause conflict? Now, Annie and I have been married for 33 years, and we've had a blessed marriage. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But we're still working on it. It's not a complete project. And so one of the things we've instituted quite recently, in married life, there are always sort of mini projects that need to be done. It could be to do with a family, it could be done with a garden, in Gary's case. It could be to do with the house, maintenance of the house, but they do require the input of both parties, the man and the wife. But how do you overcome this availability of time to actually focus and do something about that issue? So one of the things we've instituted recently is the idea of getting our diaries out and saying, okay, let's take turns once every other month to have a day out or a day of each other's time. And so the two parties perform one of two roles. The leader says, okay, I'm going to take charge of that date, 24th of October. Okay, and the other party's got the date in the diary. The other party is the follower. And that follower says, I will follow you, leader, on that day. I won't have any conflicting plans that day. I'll have no plans because I'm going to follow you as the leader. And that's what happens. So we now get our diaries out and we put dates in when who's going to be the follower and who's going to be the leader. Yeah? And that's great because if you're the follower, you're just going to be led. You just have to get up that morning and follow. In the meantime, the leader knows that the follower has got total undivided attention on you as the leader. Now, to make it sort of romantic, because sometimes it's not very romantic, sometimes Annie will say, Gary, I want you to come down to my allotment and spend the whole day digging. But it could be more interesting than that. So last week, we decided we needed some new lampshades in our sitting room. And with all due respect to the retail industry in Horsham, it's limited possibilities. So we get in the car and we drive up to Kingston-on-Thames and we spend about 3 or 4 hours looking at light shades. Great. But that's what Annie wanted me to do that day. Okay. But on the 24th of whenever the next one is, I'm organising, then I'm going to be in charge of that. Now, to make it sound romantic... To make it sound romantic and to build a level of expectation, we call these days the big day out. That really does build the thing up, doesn't it? You know, and so it could be a meal, it could be a walk, whatever the leader wants to do, he or she's got the undivided attention of the time. So that's what happens on the big day out, and I recommend it.
Yeah. Amen. Ever since Gary said that to me, I had Wallace and Gromit, you know what I mean, a grand day out, you know, in the back of my mind. We're just giving, in a sense, if you can see, there's just sort of principles about this. And the principles about it really are, is, you know, it's not the length of time. Now, for Gary and Annie, they've chosen to do that. But it's actually the quality of time together. That's important. It's that sharing of life, that the Holy Spirit working and blessing. As we've said at the beginning, sharing and communication with God is not a one-way street. We have to be good listeners. Sometimes when Rachel shares stuff that she's going through, what do I want to do? Or sometimes if you've, you know, even if you're a single person and you've got a friend and you're speaking to your friend, there's a real tendency to come in and fix the situation. You ever been there? No, us as men, do you know what we want to do? You know what I mean? Well, if you get the your size socket set out, darling, and we choose number 4, and we'll adjust number 4, and then it'll be all right. And she's not looking for that. She's not looking for that because she's wanting me to really understand where she's coming from and actually listen. I think that's such an important part of communication. There is a big difference in knowing about a person and knowing them. Yeah, there's a big, big difference. Now, I had the blessing of last year going to the... we went on a marriage retreat for leaders, something that Mike and Wendy Kimball are involved with. And we were really, it was a fantastic opportunity for us to go away and to be together. And yet, when we got there, God actually sort of began this work on us, and at some point in the day, we kind of had to, we had to write a letter of communication to each other, just really expressing how we feel. And I have an open heart myself, and I've even got a problem in something like that. So I just began writing, and as I began writing to Rachel, what actually happened is the Lord began to use it as a prophetic word straight to her, but also straight to me. And he said one thing, he said, Gary, I love the intimacy that you have with Rachel. He said, I love the intimacy that we have together. He said, I value the intimacy that you have with me. I value the intimacy that you have with each other. Now, this is the thing that shot me across my bow. He said, Gary, I want you to value what I value. That's quite profound. I want you, Gary, to value what I value. Because sometimes, you know, in life, things can be so busy that we push the things that we value to the right, to the back, and yet what we're left with is a load of activity, but there's no sharing of life and there's no intimacy. And so God kind of began to, and in that process, now we've made a decision ourselves that we'll give Friday night to each other. Out of the back of that, sometimes we have to do practical things when God speaks to you. We have to find. Now, that's what we're just doing in the context of our marriage, but it goes across the whole board. The more important the relationship, the more vital the part trust plays. The more intimate the relationship, the more trust lies at the very heart. You see, even mentioning today quality time, you see, fear can prevent us from being open with each other. What will they think if I really reveal who I am? I just want you to turn to one scripture, 1 John 4, verse 18. Now, this is the Amplified again. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear outdoors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. And one of the reasons how God has set me free, when we read Psalm 139, you know that psalm says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, yeah? Before you get up, I know who you are, where you are. If I go to the heights, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. There's nowhere I can hide from God. Before a thought is even on my mouth, he knows what I'm going to say. And here's a God who knows me in that way. And I can be secure in that love. I can be secure about that knowing and being known by God. And I don't need to be afraid. Because the more time that I spend with him, his perfect love is driving out all fear. Amen. I'm just going to use some of the worship guys. Do you want to come up? About six of you. In your own time, lads. Girls. Can you guys have a couple of you guys as well? Sorry, Matt, you're dropping off there, mate. Just come on again. Now, I'll have the lads all in a thing here. Lads here. Okay, do you want the girls to go to the other side, at the other end? Right, now if you stand just together in a bit of a huddle, okay, you just stand in a line here, looking that way. All together in a line, looking that way. Sometimes in life, what happens is we hit circumstances, okay? Now, lads, you're going to have to look at me now, right? Sometimes the circumstances that we hit can be very painful situations. Now, what I want you to do is give me a bit of resistance, but not too much, all right? This isn't license now to kill the pastor, please. So what happens is, when we walk through a situation, now, what you want to see is that these are the, in a line, sorry, that way. These are the relationships that God has for us. These are all the people that God has for us to work with. But sometimes what happens is in life, we hit a situation in life where we could be intimidated. We go through a time of intimidation or the fear of man. Now, that situation can be quite tough. Okay, as I'm going to try and go through you now. Resist a little bit, right? Okay. Father. Yeah, okay. Help. Right, okay. Let us through. No, okay. Give them an inch and they take a mile. Now, what happens is, if you come over here a minute, just down here. Okay, you follow me out, Matt, through it. What happens is, the situation, okay, stand in front of me. The situation could have been, you know, really fear and intimidation. What happens is, okay, stay there, don't worry, don't panic. It's not the situation that caused the damage, but it's the lie that comes out of the outside of the situation. Do you understand that? So if you push, say if I hit something here, and I, you know, hit, okay, do the same again. So you follow me out now, Matt, as well. Okay, together. So I come in, and there's a situation, you know, in a sense, what we've done in life, or if we've been rejected or something like that, and you hit, you come in and you go through a relationship, and it's very tough. It's not that thing that was tough. It's the lie that gets left in the mind. In the name of Jesus this morning, I break a spirit of rejection. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus this morning, I break a spirit of fear. Amen. Because when we go through something, I know you're not rejected or you're not. You see, what that does is, that stops us. It puts a barrier of actually.
A bit scared.
A bit scared. It stops us from actually relating to the people that, you know, having that quality time for the people that we need to be having. It could be, okay, we're going to do another one. Okay, where's you? Follow me out. Okay? Right, in this situation, say someone could be going through something, could be in a financial thing, and they find themselves in a really bad way out of it. You know, where you lose everything. Okay, here's all the pressure, the tension. Okay, here's all the activity. But out on the back end of a lie, you see, this could be failure. It's a thought. It's not the situation that makes them a failure. They're not failures because they are accepted in Christ Jesus. Amen. They are not failures, but it's a lie that we can take with us. It can become a mindset. And so these kind of lies, because you feeling a failure, you know what I mean? In a sense, is what sometimes we do, we're submitting to being a failure rather than to actually applying the word to our lives and our lives to the word. And speaking the truth. I am not a failure in the name of Jesus. I break that. Yeah. It's not part of my identity. And that enables me, I'm going to be a real gentleman now, that enables me to relate and have that communion, has that time, because I'm not filtering everything, okay, scrum down. Oh, there goes the fire alarm. Okay. This is the paradox that we find ourselves with about being open with one another. And sometimes we do go through life and do go through struggles, but outside of when we come through those things, I believe what God in His love is doing as we're applying the word to our lives and our life to the word, He's setting us free. Amen. He's setting us free from fear, from intimidation. Yeah, from stuff that's happened in our lives, from rejection. Those things happened, but that is not the truth of who we are now in Christ Jesus. We are whole, we are holy, we're accepted. Hallelujah. And so, sometimes we're left with a bit of a paradox when it comes about being open. It says, we find ourselves coming against this. You'll never understand a person unless they reveal themselves, their hearts. They will never reveal themselves unless they trust you. They will never trust you unless they know you. And they will never know you unless you reveal yourself. So that openness there is important. And I think what God is doing and what he's going to do in the weeks ahead is this agape love working through all of these different love languages, setting us free. Because Jesus has set us free so we can love one another. Amen? Let's just stand for a minute here. Just stand. Now you're all settled. Just raise your hands a minute. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you set me free by the power of your blood 2,000 years ago. Father, every barrier, every lie that says I can't, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Every lie of rejection, every lie of fear that holds, puts barriers in the way, I break that now in the name of Jesus. Over circumstances, over people's lives where they've lived under the power of a lie, I break it now. I break fear now in the name of Jesus. You get out of the situation in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, people have gone through bankruptcy things. They are not a failure. I break the power of those words. I break whatever's been spoken to you now in the name of Jesus. You are not a failure. You are secure in Christ. You're loved in Christ. You're made whole in Christ. And Father, I thank you for that agape love. Father, as we express that in action, Father, we thank you for just a reality of doing and being, Father, and sharing in the community in our lives and with people that don't know you, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for that fresh baptism this morning, that your perfect love drives out all fear. I thank you, you set us free. We can relate to one another. We can love you, Lord God. And I thank you, we're not under the power of a lie, but we're lifted in Christ Jesus, seated with him in heavenly places. And Father, I decree and speak it over every circumstance today. Grace for breakthrough. Grace for breakthrough. Grace for breakthrough in your lives today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's praise God, shall we? Amen.